Welcome to the Peckway Church Podcast. We're glad you're here. At Peckway, our mission is to transform lives by connecting people with God and with each other. It's our hope that this message will give you hope and encourage you to take the next step in your journey with Christ. For more information about our services and weekly ministries, visit us at peckwaychurch.com.
One doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Hey. I believe in the crucifixion. By his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, his life is death's defeat. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty I believe. I believe, I believe. I believe in the hope of heaven. He's preparing a place for me, far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard, or eyes have seen. I believe that a day is coming. He's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning. See the lamb who rose a roaring light. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, our
that's what you believe today, because it is the truth, that firm foundation that we stand on, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go ahead and have a seat. Thanks so much for being here with us this morning at Peckway Church. Thanks for those who are viewing online with us today as well. Those here in the house, I'm going to invite you to look inside of your bulletin, and you're going to find a gray connection card. Go ahead and take that out. Online, you're going to find a connect link there in the chat window as well. That's our digital connection card. But each week, we ask you to fill that out if you would, please. And for those who are regular attenders, you can simply write your first and last name. But everyone here, if you would drop it in that gray box on the way out at the end of today's service. It's just one of those great ways that we're able to connect with you, let you know about things that are happening here at Peckway Church, and then also for your prayer request, things that you want to maybe know about what's coming up or questions you want to ask that aren't on that card, that's a space available there on the back for you as well. But we'll talk about that card a little bit later at the end of today's service. I want to also direct your attention, if you're a first-time guest, you can simply take out your mobile phone and you can text the word hello to 717-872-5679. 679. You see it there on your screen, and that just simply gets us connected through text. And so I welcome you to do that. It's a really quick and convenient way to be able to connect as well. So thank you for taking the time to do that with us today. Well, we are looking at another message here in an Unchanging God sermon series, and today we're going to look and talk about the storms in our life. And so, you know, I want to talk about a verse that goes along with this, and it is found, and I'm going to look at it because I don't want to mess that up, but it is found in John chapter 16, and it's verse 33, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and you know, I think it's relatable to storms, things happening in our lives that, you know, things can get rocky sometimes. But this is what Jesus told them. And I'm going to start with the second half of the verse that says, "In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And then the first part, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." And so, do you need peace today? Do you need God to come and calm those storms in your life? You know, we can look at our world and the things that are going on and the things happening in the Middle East. You know, we need to pray for those people. We need to pray for the things that are happening in our world. And as peace people, we pray for peace, for a peaceful resolution, right? And so we're going to pray just for a moment. We're going to remember the people that are involved in that right now. And then also, maybe if you are involved in a storm, ask God to do something miraculous today as a result of being here and hearing today's message. But would you just bow your head for just a moment as we just remember the people that are involved in the Middle East with the conflict that's going on right now. Jesus, we thank you for the power that there is in your name. And God, that you have told us that there will be trouble in this world. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be storms. But God, that you tell us to take heart because you have overcome the things of this world. And in these moments of crisis, when it looks like we don't know what's going on, when we're unsure, when there's anxiety and there's fear, you tell us you've done these things to give us peace, that you tell us these things because you, Jesus, are peace. So we pray for the conflict in the Middle East. We pray for peace, God. We pray for the storms in our own lives. And maybe if we're not going through a storm today, we know that they are inevitable and that they will happen, God. But we can look to you for our strength and for our peace and our comfort. So today we thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do as a result of us being in this place today. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have you turn your attention to the screen.
Life can bring us storms. Those moments where we wander, wonder, doubt. The journey doesn't stop, but the progress does. It can be lonely, painful. Sometimes we try to stare it down, as if we could somehow will it to go away. Or we think we can go toe-to-toe and come out the other side, unscathed. We often forget just how small we are. The truth is, storms are inevitable. But when they appear, we have a protector, a savior who knows a thing or two about calming storms. A God who is a stronghold in times of trouble. In our weakness, He is strong. In our fear, He is courage. In our desperation, He is peace. Yes, storms are inevitable. But our God is invincible.
Our worship, as we pray, as we sing to the God who is in control of all things, as He speaks peace over you and your life and the circumstances in front of you today.
Set my feet upon the sea till I'm dancing in the deep. Peace be still, you are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks. I'm not gonna be afraid, cause these waves are low. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm not gonna fear the storm. You are greater than its roar. I'm not gonna fear the storm. I'm not gonna fear it all. I'm dancing in the deep. Peace be still, you are here, so it is well. Even when my eyes can't see, I will trust the voice that speaks. Peace, peace over me.
This is our prayer. We're going to see it, that our faith would rise up as we turn our eyes to Jesus, as we look to Him today in our storm. Listen.
Let faith rise up, O heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me. Let faith rise up, O heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me. Let faith rise up, oh heart, believe. Let faith rise up in me. Let faith rise up, oh heart, believe. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. He's worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside.
Firm foundation of the love of Jesus, the love that never fails, the love that is unconditional, his promises that his presence is always with us, that he never leaves us or forsakes us. And as we have talked about over these last several weeks, that he is unchanging, that he is the same yesterday, today, and and forever. And that's what you can put your hope, your trust, and your faith in today. Would you bow with me as we pray? Jesus, we thank you for the power that there is in your name. We thank you for the strong, sturdy foundation that we have in you. Lord, we know that we all face storms in life, whether we're facing one now or we're going to face one in the future. As we've said, as we've seen already today, that storms are inevitable. But God, that you are trustworthy, that you are an anchor in the storms of life. So today, as we have declared, Jesus, who you are, that you are God, that you sent Jesus to give his life for us so that we could be rescued, that we could have eternity with you, and that you give us the Holy Spirit to help us walk through dark days, to help us face trials, but also to fill us with joy, with peace, with love. So we're so grateful for those things today, God. I do pray peace today for our world, our nation, God, for our lives, and Lord, and in these next few moments, would you speak peace today into hearts and lives? We thank you for what you're going to do, and we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Scott, I just want to say good morning, and as well as always, and it's always sincere to say to the worship team, thank you, Pastor Scott, for reminding us, especially in these times, what we're seeing in our world and our nation, that we truly can have peace, that we can turn to a God of peace. And I don't know about you, but as we sang that last song, my mind went to Psalm 46:10. And most of you know it. Maybe you don't know the reference to it. But it says this. Most of us have memorized it at some point in our life, or at least we've recognized it. It says simply this, God speaking, and he says, be still and know that I am God. And as I sensed, not only as we were singing, as I was trying to read the room, I really do sense that peace, and I commend you for that. Because the reality is, I don't know about you, but I think for most of us, when we face a storm, we face one of two temptations. And the first temptation is just to freeze up. We just become immobilized, right? It's like the lion with the chair. We just are trying to focus on so many things, so many distractions, so many concerns are coming at us that we just freeze up. We don't know what to do, where to turn. But the other side of the coin, maybe after we unfreeze, but sometimes our initial response is just to become frantic. Just start running around, kind of like Lancelot's horse, going in seven different directions at the same time, just trying to make something happen, trying to find a way of escape. And the reality is the storms that we see in life, most of them are beyond our capacity to handle in and of ourselves. And certainly what we're seeing in the Middle East, and even maybe you were doing what I was doing earlier this morning, I was scrolling through news feeds and seeing the death toll in Israel and in the Middle East just rising and rising, additional threats. I literally just saw that before coming up here that our national leaders are warning us of increased risk in this country of terrorist attacks because of this whole Hamas incident. And I just say all that to say, the reality is we need to be still. We need to become aware that God is not only aware of us, aware of the situation, but God's in control. And really, with that said, I feel like this morning's message is so applicable because what I want to do today as we continue this series of our unchanging God, I want to look at a miracle that's so impacted, so shaped Jesus' disciples that it's recorded not in one, not in two, but three of the four Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which I also suspect is why most of us, when we get into it, recognize or are familiar with the miracle. But before we go there, I want to point out something that needs to be said. I think it needs to be said, and that is this. We need to understand when it comes to the miracles of Jesus, or for that fact, any miracle in the Bible, particularly the miracles of Jesus, that he never performed a miracle to show off. In other words, Jesus always had a reason. He had a point for the miracle that he performed. And the point that Jesus had for the miracle we're going to look at today is simply this. He wanted to demonstrate how our unchanging God can calm even the fiercest and the most overwhelming storms we face in life, whatever that is. He is in control. And to that end, I would just point out, and the video clip did a great job of setting up the first one, but I want to point out three things we need to remember, facts about storms. And the first one is this: storms are inevitable, meaning they are going to come into our lives. None of us are exempt because storms are a fact of life. A fact of life because we live in a fallen, broken world. In other words, because of the fall, folks, we live in a world where bad things happen to good people. And yes, even good things happen to bad people. The reality is we have a world that we live in that storms are a fact of life. That's why Jesus said, and his half-brother James just echoed it when he said to those he was writing, the first followers of Jesus, there on your outlines, James wrote this: when you face trials. Scott reminded us in John 16 that Jesus said, in this world you will, not you might. And echoing that very thought, James said, when you face trials, not if. In other words, storms and trials are inevitable. They will come. None of us are going to sail through life storm-free. So disabuse yourself if you think, you know, if I just become a Christian, if I just follow Jesus, if I just fully and completely serve God, I won't have any storms in my life. I won't have any difficulties. That's a fallacy, folks, because the first fact we need to know about storms are they're inevitable. Here's the second fact. They're unpredictable. Have you noticed that? In other words, try as we may, we cannot predict them. We cannot always, more often than not, we can't anticipate them because they come in our life suddenly and unexpectedly. And so no matter how much we try, no matter how much we plan, the truth of the matter is we will not be able to predict every hardship, every trial, every difficulty that comes into our lives. And here's the third fact about storms. They're impartial. They're impartial. I've already referred to this, but folks, this is the one that I think for most of us troubles us the most. Because what this really is saying, this fact we need to understand, is that storms happen to good people and bad people. They happen to followers of Jesus and people that have no use for Jesus. They happen to people who are well-prepared, who think they're well-prepared, and those who have never bothered to prepare. That's why David said this. He said, the good man does not escape all troubles. He has them too. We need to remember that. David is saying even good people, even people that believe in God, even people that do their best to serve God and to follow God are not exempt from storms. And I'm stressing that for this reason, because I find there is a very common misconception out in our world today, sometimes even in the church, that we only have tough times when we disobey God. And folks, that's a fallacy. That's an absolute fallacy. And all I have to do to prove that to you, or at least I believe to prove to myself, and I hope it proves it to you, is I just say, think about Jesus. Jesus always followed and obeyed God's will. There wasn't a single exception in 33 and a half years of life that Jesus wasn't fully and completely in obedience to God. And yet I want you to notice how Isaiah described his life. He said he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. So folks, the reason I'm sharing that is when you and I face a storm, or perhaps you find yourself in one today, do not automatically assume, well, I must be outside God's will. I must have done something to anger God or offend God or upset God. Because the reality is, like Jesus, you might be right in the center of God's will, right where God wants you to be. Because of this reason, folks, we live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world, good people do not always get what they deserve. Just as in a fallen world, bad people often don't get what they deserve. And so Jesus was an example to us that we can do everything perfectly. We can obey God totally and completely, and we still might find ourselves, and in fact, we'll find ourselves in times facing storms, because not only we live in a fallen world, but we have an adversary, the evil one, who brings hardship and difficulty into our lives. God is not the cause of that. But for all of us, we're going to face them. So here's what I want to summarize. Here's where I want to kind of launch from this morning. So if storms are inevitable, and they're unpredictable, and they're impartial, meaning all of us are going to face them sooner or later in life, then the question we need to ask ourselves, so how do we face them? How do we overcome them? How do we successfully face the storms of life? And to answer that question, I want us to turn now to that parable that I told you Jesus performed to teach his disciples that very lesson. And I'm going to look at it from the Gospel of Matthew. As I said, Mark records it and Luke records it, but I want to begin by looking and reading it for you from Matthew's Gospel. And it's not long. All three accounts in the Gospels are short, but let me read you Matthew's account. He writes this: "Then he," that is Jesus, "got into a boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us. We're going to drown.' He replied, 'You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" And so what I want to begin with is we see very clearly in that text two reactions to the storm. The first one, maybe the predictable one for most of us, was the reaction of the disciples. And it was this: to be filled with panic, to be filled with fear. For I want you to notice again there on your outline what we're told. It says the disciples went and woke him, that is Jesus, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Now, let me just push in the clutch there for a second and tell you something that I know most of us know, but we need to be reminded of in this text, dare we blow past it, and that is that reaction by disciples is very telling, because we need to remember at least four of the 12 have been professional fishermen on the Sea of the Galilee. And so these men at multiple times had seen the storms that come up on the Sea of Galilee, because storms and severe storms are not unusual because of its topography and its location and the mountains surrounding the Sea of Galilee. But what we are told is these men were terrified by the storm. They were scared to death, which really tells us just how intense this storm was. And again, the gospel writers suggest that, but they say the waves were coming over the boat. But there's another indication of the intensity of this storm that Matthew gives us, because the word he uses for storm is seismos. And most of you recognize when I say that, going, "Hey, I think we have a word in English that sounds like that." And it's seismography or seismograph, the instrument that we use to measure the intensity of an earthquake. The point being that this storm was a major storm. It was an intense storm. It was a life-threatening storm. And so the disciples, I would say, appropriately responded. That is, they were filled with fear. They panicked. And I say that and I stress that because I don't think that should surprise us, and I don't think it should even shock us, because if we're honest with ourselves, isn't that our typical reaction when storms suddenly strike our lives with no warning? Isn't it often our first response to be frightened about our welfare, our survival? What's going to happen to us, we ask? So that's the first response, one of panic and one of fear. But Jesus modeled a second response, the response that I would suggest you we need to follow, and that was to be filled with peace. So the second way we can respond to the storms that come in our life is either we can panic or we can be filled with peace. Because I want you to notice what Matthew says. He says, without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But notice this, underline this next sentence, but Jesus was sleeping. And you talk about a contrast. The disciples are panicking and Jesus was sleeping. So clearly the point is that I think that Jesus wasn't worried about the storm. And again, that is telling as well, because let's think about this. Again, push in the clutch and think about this. Jesus was God in human form. And so I think it's safe to assume that Jesus knew about the storm before he got in the boat. He knew about the storm certainly before it struck, and yet he still not only got in the boat, but he chose to go to sleep. He made the conscious choice to lay down the back of the boat and go to sleep. Now, why? We need to ask the question, why did Jesus do that? And I believe it was because Jesus wanted to teach his disciples, those in that day and those of us now, that nothing ever surprises God. That nothing ever takes God by surprise. And again, it's interesting that it says Jesus chose to fall asleep, because you know and I know, or at least I'll speak for myself. Folks, when I'm stressing about a storm, you know the first thing that happens? I lose sleep. How about you? When you and I are stressing about a storm, inevitably, one of the telltale signs of most of our lives is we can't sleep. And so by falling asleep and continuing to stay asleep, even while the storm raged, Jesus modeled for the disciples, both then and in those of us who are here today as followers of Jesus, this unshakable confidence in this unchanging God that we serve, the same God that we sang about already this morning. And here's why Jesus did that. Because he wanted his disciples then, he wants the disciples that follow him today to know we could have that same confidence. That same confidence in our God, no matter the storm that we're facing. But listen, for that to happen, we must apply the principles. We must follow Jesus' example, the things that he modeled for us. And let me just give them to you, because there's just three. The first thing we need to do if we're going to face the storms of life successfully is we need to remember God's closeness. We need to remember God's closeness. Because before the storm rolled in, Matthew tells us that Jesus got into the boat, and then his disciples followed him. Now, again, Jesus knew the storm was coming, but the point is, if Jesus was in the boat, I think the disciples should have known they had nothing to worry about. I mean, think about it. Did the disciples really think that God would let the boat go down in the middle of this storm with Jesus in it? Now, the obvious implication is no. I mean, logic would dictate to us that no, that's a silly thing to think, but when we're in the storm, we often aren't thinking rationally, are we? We're not thinking objectively. And so the first lesson that I would suggest to you that we need to take away from this story is we think about this unchangeable God, the same God, as Scott said, quoting Hebrews, the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The first lesson we need to learn is this. We can know for certain that our own unchanging God is always with us. We can know for certain God is always with us because he is our unchanging God. Meaning this, practically, folks, what that means is there'll never be a storm in your life of mine that we'll go through alone. The God will always face it with us. And yet I know, just like you know, as soon as I say that, that it is much easier said than done, because it is easy to forget that fact, that reality, when the storm strikes. Which is why, for many of us, when we find ourselves in a storm, we begin to think things like this. We begin to react like this. We say, where is God? I'm all alone. What's happening? We begin to panic. We begin to fear. We just believe with all our heart that God is nowhere around. And for that reason, I want to suggest to you that we need to hold on to the promises of God. And specifically, two I want to share with you this morning. The first one is from the book of Isaiah. God is speaking, and he says this, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Now, this is incredibly applicable to storms in life, particularly the ones we're looking at. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Then the second promise is from Jesus himself, who said this, and you can be sure, underline that, you can be sure that I am always with you to the very end. And so when the storms strike in life, whatever that storm might be, what we need to do is remind ourselves and remember our changing God is close. He hasn't abandoned us. He's in the boat with us. Let me give you the second thing we need to do when we face the storm of life, and that is we need to relax in God's care. We need to relax in God's care. Because again, as this story unfolds, as the gospel writers recorded, after the storm struck, the disciples went and they woke Jesus up, and I want you to notice the first thing they said. The first thing they said after waking Jesus up, and Mark and Luke tell us this, but he says, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, does that sound familiar? That is so often our response, the first question we have when we find ourselves facing a storm. God, don't you care what I'm going through? Don't you care what's happening to me? Don't you care what's happening to my family, to our country, the church, whatever it is? God, don't you care? And so the second lesson we need to take away from this is Jesus modeled for it, is when we're facing storms, we need to remember, we need to constantly relax in God's care, because we need to know God cares about what we're going through. That's the second lesson. God cares about what we're going through. And I would suggest to you, we need to do that. That is to remember that, whatever it takes. And one of the best ways to do that for me, and maybe for many of you, quite honestly, is to read this book, God's Word. Because in God's word, believe it or not, and you know, somebody's done the counting, I haven't, and I take their word at it, there are over 7,000 promises about God's care in God's word. And one of the greatest as far as I'm concerned, was written by Peter, who, as we all recognize, was in the boat that day. He was one of the men that was terrified. He was one of the men who was fearful. He was one of the men who was in panic. But Peter learned his lesson. And a couple decades later, he wrote this, and I love this. He said, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, again, folks, all of us preachers and people in general, we can, you know, from the advantage of history and perspective, we can sit back and we be critical of biblical characters. But I want to say to you this morning, we need to give credit as well where credit is due. And the disciples need and deserve credit here because they got this one right. They got this one right. They truly recognized that they needed to lean into God at this point. And I say that because the first thing they did when they became fearful is they went to Jesus. They took their fears to Jesus. And I believe that was because they recognized and had been learning through walking with him day in and day out that Jesus was the only one who could do anything about the storm. He was the only one that had the capacity, the ability to do anything about the storm. And I stress that to say this, folks, we need to learn and develop the same habit when it comes to the storms in our lives. When we find ourselves becoming anxious, when we find ourselves beginning to panic about the storm that has descended on our life, like the disciples, we need to take it to Jesus. We need to go to Jesus. Well, let me give you the final step we need to take when facing the storms based on this miracle performed by Jesus, and that is when we're facing a storm, we need to rely on God's control. We need to rely on God's control. For I want you to take a look at what Mark tells us. He's speaking about Jesus, and he said, he got up, rebuked the wind and the wave, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Now, I love that picture because what it tells me is after the disciples, you know, got Jesus awake and stirred him, he sat up in the boat and he said to the wind and the waves, quiet, be still. But it is interesting to me, again, in the original language that Mark was writing this, it actually, what it literally means in that original biblical language is be silent, be muzzled. Be silent, be muzzled. In other words, if Jesus was saying today, I think he'd say something like this. I'm not saying this is what he said, but I think it's fair translation. Jesus would say, you know, sit down and hush up. That's what Jesus was saying to the weather. He was saying to the waves, sit down and hush up. And the interesting thing, the amazing thing is instantly the sea obeyed. Instantly the waves obey and become quiet and still. Now, again, I want to take you back. Again, let's not forget what's actually going on here, the historical context. Remember, the disciples had seen Jesus at this point do dozens and dozens of miracles. So they should have known they didn't need to panic, right? They should have known they didn't need to be afraid. For they had witnessed over and over and over again on multiple occasions the fact that Jesus demonstrated time and time again his ability to handle any and every crisis. I mean, even earlier in Matthew 5, his feeding 4,000. We talked about last week how he healed lepers and how he healed this woman who was bleeding for 12 years. These men had seen that. And so they should have known that there was nothing ultimately to worry about. They ultimately should have known they could relax in God's care and they could rely on his control. So here's the third lesson we need to learn. The third lesson we need to learn is that God is in control. That God is in control. And we need to learn that because like the disciples, all too often, and again, I'll speak for myself, and I don't think I'm all that untypical, we can be filled with fear when we face situations that feel like they're out of our control, right? I mean, I like you, I've read the news reports this week that, you know, from almost the very beginning, Israel's been referring to this as their 9/11, and like 9/11, that TV has been on to news stations more now than it has since 9/11 in my home. And we're tracking that. And it's so easy to look at that situation that is clearly beyond our control, clearly beyond our government's control, and we could be filled with fear. We could be filled with anxiety. And that's because, folks, the reality is, if we're honest, there are many things in life like that that are out of our control, which means there are many things in life that should and could fill us with fear. And yet here it is, once again, Jesus proving to his disciples, and yes, to us, that things that are beyond our control aren't beyond God's control. That even if they're out of our control, they're still in God's control. Which is why Jeremiah said this. I love this verse. This is, "Sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." Underline this: nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. So let me apply that, folks. Let me make it personal for you and me today, folks. While it is true that you and I cannot control everything that happens in our lives, we cannot control everything that happens in our children's lives, or our parents' lives, or our family's lives, or our friends' lives. While that is true, we can rest assured that our unchanging God can. Because he's proven that to us, as we've been seeing in the series over and over and over again. Which I really believe is why both Mark and Luke made a point of recording for us that before Jesus got in the boat, he made an important statement. Some of you know it. But before Jesus got in the boat, before this whole scene began, Jesus made a statement to the disciples. And here was the statement. He said, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." And folks, based on that statement, based, if you will, on that, Jesus said, "Hey, let's try." But Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And based on that promise, the disciples should have known they could trust it, that one way or another, they would get to the other side. Now, Jesus didn't say you'd get there dry. He didn't say you get there without any anxiety or excitement, but Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And when Jesus says we'll go to the other side, we should know that we can go and will go to the other side. And yet they didn't trust him. They never held on to that in the midst of the storm, which I believe is why Jesus said something to them. And it wasn't a slap on the wrist. It wasn't an indictment. It was a statement of fact. He said to them, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And I believe with all my heart, the reason Jesus said that to him, as I said, wasn't around, you know, rebuking and slapping his disciples around, putting them in place. No, here's the reason I believe Jesus said that. Because Jesus recognized in that moment that the greatest threat to their lives wasn't the storm. It was their lack of faith in him. That was the greatest threat in that moment they were facing. It wasn't the storm. It was their lack of faith in him. And let's be clear, folks. When Jesus said that to him, he wasn't talking about having or not having faith. He was talking about who we put that faith in. Because the reality is, and you know this as well as I do, the reality is, folks, we exercise faith every minute of every day. Let me give you a couple examples. Every time you go to the pharmacist and she hands you a bottle of pills, in faith, you believe that those pills will help you and not hurt you, right? You believe that she accurately fulfilled and filled the prescription. The reality is, every time you and I drive across a bridge, we exercise faith that the engineers and the inspectors did their job, they didn't cut corners, and that bridge will hold up underneath us and it won't collapse. The reality is, folks, every single time we get on a plane, we act in faith that pilot is competent and qualified and capable. And so we sit back to the best of our ability and relax, and we trust that the plane will go up and the plane will come down safely. Every single day, every moment of every day, you and I exercise faith. We have faith. The question isn't do we have faith. The question is who do we put the faith in? And that's why Jesus said to the disciples, "You of little faith." Because they didn't need a lot of faith. All they needed was a little faith. But they needed to take that little faith and put it in their big, unchanging God. And they would have confidence that the storm would have not taken their life. They would have the confidence that this God could and would calm the storm. Now, having said that, let me answer this question that I know for some of you has been burning in your mind since the time we started into this miracle, and it's this. Jerry, if Jesus knew, being God in the flesh, if Jesus knew that the storm was coming, why did he have the disciples sail into it? Now, there's a whole lot of assumptions in that, isn't there? That Jesus promised a problem-free life, and we've already talked about that. But the question's there, isn't it? Why did Jesus do it? Why didn't he just say, guys, let's just stay here for a few hours, and then when the storm passes, which you don't know is coming, but it is, then we'll go to the other side. Why did Jesus get in the boat? And then why did he have them follow him in the boat? And I believe it's because Jesus wanted to teach them a lesson that they couldn't learn from a message. They couldn't learn from sitting on the seashore listening to him teach. They needed to experience this to learn it. And here was what Jesus wanted them to learn. Our unchanging God can be trusted in the storms of life. Our unchanging God can be trusted in the storms of life. So let me ask you, today, what storm are you facing? Is it a health storm? Is it a financial storm, a relational storm? Is it one of the storms that we've talked about in this series? Is it you need God's leadership storm? You need God's provision storm? You need God's deliverance? Is the storm the fact that you feel overwhelmed by guilt and grief or anger? Is it you're feeling overwhelmed by bitterness and worry and fear? Is a storm that the reality is the circumstances of your life are tossing you here and there, and you feel like this tiny little boat out in the ocean? And the truth is, you're sitting here today saying, I'm not even sure if I'm going to make it. I'm not even sure if I'm going to survive this storm. Whatever the storm is, will you hear me, please? Will you hear me? Remember that no matter what that storm is, no matter how severe it is, your unchanging God can calm it. Your unchanging God can handle it. Which practically speaking means this, folks, and we slip into this so easily, it means we need to stop looking to anything and anyone else but Jesus to save us, to deliver us. I want you to notice the last verse on your outline. It says, then these men were amazed and asked the question, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And I want to suggest to you this morning that is the right question, isn't it? Who is this man? Who is this man? And can I suggest to you what I think is the right answer to that right question? The right answer is this. He is our unchanging God in human form who can calm every storm we face. If he's in the boat with us. Because if he's in the boat with us, folks, we can rest assured that he can handle the storm we're facing. Because as we've said for the last 6 weeks now, he is our unchanging God. And how we saw him deliver the disciples, we can trust that he is capable of delivering us just the same. Let's bow our heads for prayer. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just really want to ask you a question for your own reflection, for your own consideration this morning as we close. And this is the question. This morning, is Jesus in your boat, or is he standing back on shore because you're trying to sail through life on your own? And the reason I ask that question is because God never intended for you and I to face storms in our own power, in our own strength. His plan and intention from the very beginning was for us to face the storms with him together. That's why Jesus came to earth. That's what Jesus came to make possible. So if you're facing a storm this morning, my encouragement to you is to make sure you get Jesus in the boat. And if you don't know how to do that, let me just explain it real quickly. The way we get Jesus in the boat of our life is by just simply saying, Jesus, come into my life. Help me to understand. Help me to see that you want to face storms, the storms of my life together because you care about me. We get him in the boat of our life by just simply saying, Jesus, help me to believe that no storm is beyond your control. And so then we just say to him, and I invite you to do it even this morning, so then we just say, God is an act of faith. Jesus is an act of faith. I'm releasing my storm to you. And I'm asking for your presence and your power and protection in my life today. If you've never done that before, I want to give you just a moment to do that. And now with our heads still bowed, I want to say to those of you who say, you know, today, Jerry, things are good. Things are, in fact, are great. I'm not facing the storm right now. And so again, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to encourage you right now, just take a moment and thank God. Just thank God for the calm in your life, the peace in your life. Because storms will come, but today he has you in a safe harbor. He has you in a place of peace, and just take a moment and thank him for that. Take a moment to ask him to strengthen you and encourage you, because sooner or later a storm will come, and you're going to need that strength, and you're going to need that encouragement. But then having done that, I want to encourage you to take a moment to ask God to help you to carve out time this week to encourage and care for people that you know are going through a storm right now. You know are struggling right now with a health issue, a loss, a financial crisis, a difficult decision. Ask him to help you. Even now, be thinking, where can I make time this week to encourage that person, that family? Because, folks, that truly is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that not only do we receive his help, but we are to be conduits of that same help and encouragement. Heavenly Father, thank you for the assurance that no matter the severity of the storm that strikes our life, and they will strike, that we can know that if you're in the boat with us, we will make it to the other side. We might get wet. We probably will get wet. Father, there will be times when we will experience doubt and fear, but the reality is we can have the confidence that we will make it to the other side because you're in the boat. And for that assurance, because of the fact that you are our unchanging God, we simply say to you as your people, thank you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to direct you to that gray connection card once again. As we're closing this morning, perhaps you prayed one of those prayers that Pastor Jerry led you through this morning. Maybe you made that step of faith to trust Jesus today for that relationship with him. Or that you're just going through something, a storm in your life, and you want prayer. There's a place on that card on the back there for prayer request. I'll remind you of that once again. Online, you're going to find those same things there in the chat window. You'll find that connect link there to be able to express those things this morning. But thank you so much that you were here today and that you're listening, following God, and taking those steps of faith. You know, there are some great ways of being able to care for one another and to make connections so that you have that prayer support, so you have those connections to be able to pray. And that's by getting involved in a group, a life group, or a small group. There's information there, I think, in your bulletin about that this morning, but a really great way to being able to do that. Another way is through serving, getting to know people and getting to kind of rub elbows and help out with some things. And there's a great opportunity coming up this Wednesday, and that's going to be Fall Fest, and it's there in your bulletin this morning. There's two invite cards there that you can invite someone to come be a part of that. That's one way you can make a connection maybe with someone, a neighbor, a friend, or a family member, or just coming out and being a part of that to help maybe with setup or tear down. Missy still needs some help with that, and if you need more information, you can catch me and I can make that connection with you. But I encourage you to do that today. Fill out that card, drop it in the gray box in the back of the room. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing a song as we go out this morning that reminds us that our God is unchanging. He is the same. And so what he says, he will do, and his promises have been true forever. So let's sing that.
Stilled at the mention of his name, They'll say, my God is still the same. Ask the walls if they still fall at the mighty sound of praise. They'll say, my God is still the same. When did he break his promise? When did his kindness fail? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. When did he lose his power? When did his mercy change? Never has, never will. My God is still the same.
Hope you have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you back next week. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.